The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Welcome to Remnant Church. It's good to see you all here. I'm always excited when I'm up here to preach the gospel of Christ. I love the theme on thankfulness, on being thankful to God. This morning I'm going to take it a little bit south on thankfulness. And I call this message Thankful in the Storms, or Thankful in the Storm. Because at some point, young, middle-aged, or us older folk, we're all going through something, or we've all been through something, or we're going to go through something. Things in life will always be. We're going to have run into situations and problems and struggles, but we need to remember that God will always be there for us. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for this place. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and just smother us and flood us with your presence, God. We pray your Holy Spirit just speak to our hearts this morning and that you would have your way with us. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. God's people says, amen. I'll be reading out of the book of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and I'll be starting on verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It reads like this. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and there was waves, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. He was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" There is nothing God cannot do. He is in control of everything. We need to remember that Jesus will always be in our lives. God will always be there for the believer and the unbeliever. So we need to be a thankful people. And I want to open up with a little, probably not a true story, but on a thankful Christian bear. I might have shared it with some of you, but you all don't know this one. There's a story of a thankful Christian bear. We'll call it that. There was a pastor that had been preaching 60 years, Sunday after week after week after week, message after message. So the pastor decided to tell God that Sunday morning, "You know what, God? I'm not going to go preach today. I'm going hunting." He liked hunting. And God said, "No, my son, you need to go preach today. You need to go give him my word." And the pastor said, "No, you know what? I'm sorry, God, but I'm going to go do my own thing today. I just feel it. I'm going to have a great day." So the pastor does what he wills and wants. Takes off, puts his gear, heads to the hills. Sure enough, gets into the woods, starts going up the mountain. He starts casting out some animals, man. Takes out a pheasant, takes out a big deer, and he's just on a roll. And as he's getting to the top of this mountain, it's getting quieter. And there he goes, cutting through the shrubs and branches as they're cracking in the silence of the top of this hill. And it gets to the point where there's just complete silence. And when he stops, they're still cracking and noises coming behind him. So the pastor freezes and he decides to kind of look over his shoulder. And when he looks back, there's this huge bear just breathing over him, just breathing on him. The pastor didn't know what to do. So So he flings his rifle as far as he could, jumps forward to his knees. He says, oh God, forgive me for being unthankful and not listening to you. I will never disobey, but one thing, God, I ask you, let this be a Christian bear. So when he says that, there's silence again. So the pastor goes, great, God got rid of this bear for me. So he turns around, and the bear's like this, on his knees saying, Lord, thank you for this food I'm about to eat. Thankfulness. We need to be careful what we want to do in our own will, in our own way. But as I open this message, just keep in focus the theme of being thankful, through the good or through the bad. You see, our country, the United States of America, was founded by Christians. They crossed many seas, I'm sure, rough seas, and had hard times getting here, but they persisted and found America, which we're at now. They touched ground, checked out the area, saw some natives, made peace with them, broke bread, made this big dinner, which we're coming up to, a big dinner, Thanksgiving, huh? Can't wait. Anyways, they get there and they're thanking God with these natives in this new world. And they prayed to God and they were thankful to God. They thanked God for the meal. They thanked God for this beautiful new land they found. They thanked for all the creation, the trees, the rivers, the mountains, all the great things God was going to have for them in this new land. These people were thankful, finding America. But sad to say, this is where the story takes a turn. And I don't become so cool or famous before you. America's dwindled from that, from then till now. There's many people today that aren't very thankful in America. And sadly to say again, many Christians are forgetting to be thankful. And I say this to say this, is that their people are worshiping the created things rather than the Creator. We're more thankful for the things of this world than the God that created them. And that's what saddens God's heart. And it saddens my heart because I was on that side at one point. But I needed to learn thankfulness through whatever God would bring me. I needed to know He was in control through whatever situation I was facing. See, these disciples forgot for a moment who was on the boat. The Creator of the universe was there, but He was sleeping. Can you fathom that? Can you guys be at some cruise or on a boat and there's a storm going on and sleeping on a pillow, it says? Jesus was asleep. Can we sleep through a storm? Probably not. And you know what? We go through things in life, we're not very comfortable, and we're not very happy people. We want to get back at them sometimes. Oh, I'm not going to be thankful now. I'll get him. I'll get her. We can be very unthankful at times. We need to grasp that as Christians, as followers. And here's his disciples thinking they were going to perish. They come up to Christ. They say, don't you care? I know I'm in a room full of believers, and I know you know that God cares. I believe that in my heart. No matter what you're facing, God cares. It's probably not what you've planned or would like to be going through, but God is there. And these disciples came up and said, don't you care we're perishing? You know, in Matthew 18, 14, it says that God wishes no one would perish. He doesn't want none of us to perish. And again, sadly to say, many are. Including believers. They're living a lifestyle that's not thankful or grateful unto God. Their attitudes ain't right. We need to be right with God. We need to be thankful for Jesus that He hasn't let us perish. And that we could still congregate here as a church. And He's moving here. And He's calling us to another level as Christians. We need to be thankful, first of all. I believe at this situation these disciples were in, Christ was probably trying to get them to pray, to come to God and call on Him in the storm. But the flesh kicked in. They panicked. And they said, we better go get Jesus. You know what? Jesus, you better get up. You messed up. You brought us into the storm. We're in trouble. It's all your fault. We're quick to blame, man. When you're pointing the finger, there's three coming back at you. Remember that? When you're blaming someone, there's three more coming back to you. Jesus, you messed up. We're going to die. Always playing the blame game. Unthankful. Jesus didn't question them. He got up and asked and did what they asked. He did what they asked. So the first point I want to pull out is that Jesus was the one that brought them into the storm. He brought them into this storm. Can you imagine Christ in your life now wanting to bring you through trials and situations and blowing storms your way? And we're quick to get upset, complain and grumble probably at times. It's probably he wants to do something. God always wants to do something in our lives. And that's my next point. I think I put it in there. God is the one who will bring us into storms to change things in our lives. So you got to remember the story here. Jesus said, let's go cross over the side. It's right there. He said, let us cross. He's calling us to different ventures, different lives, but being thankful at the same time. We need to be thankful as Jesus leads us to these new levels of life. And some aren't going to be easy. It's not going to be a bed of roses. Christ didn't have it easy. We won't either. But Christ always remembered to thank his heavenly Father. And I think he's drawing us to do the same. We are made in his image. We are made in his image. The Christian that has been converted and devoted to following Jesus should be filled with his love, first of all. Not like a lot of us that can be impatient, short-fused, nervous wreck. Our thoughts are out of control. Sometimes probably it's because you're not being thankful. And this is for all the Christians. This message isn't just for us. It's for all the believers that are out there. We need to have a thankful heart. We need to be grateful and thankful unto what Christ is doing in these hard times. A thankful heart is always aiming to please others and not self first. A thankful heart will always have peace in the middle of the storm. You know those times you can't sleep and you're worried about whatever? Thinking all these other things? You're like the sea, just your heart is just like this ocean, just wave after wave. Call on Jesus. Peace be still. He gave us a voice too. We can call out to Christ. We can be in the middle of a storm and say, you know what? Peace be still. He empowered us. We have that power to say, you know what? I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make this, Lord, because you're with me. You are in this boat with me. I'm going to get through this. He's always with us, but he will bring you into these storms. We need to be thankful. The thankful Christian is always obedient and seeking God. I'm not up here saying every second I'm talking about God like Jerry says, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. No, but I'm talking with God throughout my day. I'm on the forklift at work. I almost drop a pallet. Hey, thank you, God. I could have made a mess there. And there's employees that come at me and say all these probably insulting words at times, and I just keep my mouth. Oh, Lord, keep my mouth shut on this one. I will tell him. We want to quickly... And I say, no, God, thank you, shut my mouth. Come on, angel, hold on, the angel's probably trying to hold my lips. Oh, this guy wants to say it. You can call on him. We have power in us. Peace be still. My second point is this. Jesus was with them in the storm. Not only did it bring them in the storm, he was there in the storm, and it's right there in that verse. Now, when they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat. There it is. Jesus is always with us. It reminds me of another quick joke I probably shared with a lot of you, a little story about a little boy that was afraid of the dark. He didn't like to go out in the dark. So he's there in the kitchen with mommy, and mommy's cooking dinner and cleaning the kitchen, like kind of what some moms do. Anyways, as she's cleaning there, she wants to go sweep around the kitchen over there, and she goes, Bobby, can you please go bring me the broom? It's out back in the patio. And little Bobby goes, but mommy, it's dark. I'm afraid. And she goes, don't worry. Jesus is everywhere. God is everywhere. He's out there. He'll be with you in that dark patio. And the boy looks at mommy. The boy looks at the door. The boy looks at mommy again. He goes, okay, mommy, I'll go get you the broom. So the little boy goes to the back door, opens the back patio door, looks out. It's pretty dark. And he goes, hey, Jesus, if you're out there, can you bring me the broom? We need not fear. Jesus is in us. This passion you see coming out of this guy, the passion you see Jerry and Jeremiah get up here and share God's word with you, it's Christ in us. And you guys have that in you too. Not just because we're up here, we're the only ones. No, you're called out. You're out to talk to the other sheep among the flock. There's many flocks out there to be reached. You're that other sheep that's going to minister to those sheep that don't know. Be thankful and reach for them. Call on them. Help them out. Call on Jesus to give you the words. So the next point is this. Jesus will always be with us no matter what we are going through. And I can talk about pain. I can talk about suffering. I've experienced many things. And I'm still going through a storm right now with my wife. It's no bed of roses being thankful when there's suffering going on. It's not an easy thing. But you know what? We need to just confide and trust in God. Smile for Jesus. Yeah, we're probably hurting inside, but Jesus can heal that too. He gets way in there and takes care of that pain when you're thankful. Jesus will always be there. But you know what? I put this. Some Christians can resemble thankfulness, but there's wars and turmoil in their heart. There's these battles. It says that in Psalms 55:21 that these people are showing the love of Christ, are acting like they love God, but there's evil in their heart. Their intentions are to hurt people. Truly hurt people. When they're smiling in your face, then you walk away and they're mocking you and talking about you. That's going to happen. Their hearts are in turmoil. They need Jesus. They need to be thankful and call on God. See, I lived a dark life in my past. I didn't believe in God. I knew He was there, but I didn't care to call on Him. I was a very unthankful man, very evil and dark. I would love to hurt people. I was very verbal. I would insult you and just cut you down with words. And if it was another guy, of course, here we go. Let's round one. Let's fight. Very evil. But when God and Christ came into my life, He grabbed a hold of my heart and just softened it. How? I started reading His Word, going, wow, Lord, this is awesome. I really need this. And little by little, I just started feeling this change inside. And I started becoming a thankful person. And I started thanking people and saying, please, excuse me, and thank you. And I'm so grateful. Words I never even cared to use. And some of the words I couldn't even pronounce, let alone speak. I was real quiet and hard. Don't look at me. I'll beat you up. But Christ comes in and gives you a thankful heart. All of you here, all of you have that heart. You just got to work it out, just like weightlifting. Work that thankfulness out. Read the Word. Speak to people. Thank God every morning you wake up. If you can't get up and pray, at least when you open your eyes, like I do sometimes, when I open my eyes, I say, thank you, God, for another day. Move on. Thank Him. Thank Him all the time. He gets all the glory. He will always get all the glory. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what God wants to do through us, through our thankful heart. We need to be thankful and a grateful people. The thankful Christian shows through their character and through their actions. It's very noticeable. Jerry touches on it almost every time through the announcements on serving or getting into some kind of ministry. And we don't want to twist your arm to come help. Let God move you. Pray and thank Him and ask Him, God, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? Oh, you want me to do that? I don't want to, God. No, that's not a thankful heart. Oh, man, I don't want to take care of kids. No way. They don't listen. They're kids. You were a kid once. Who controlled you? Get over here. Ah! You got to remember you were a kid too once. But if you have a thankful heart, you would want to get into ministry. You're going to start seeking where God could use you. But you need to seek it. See, these guys came in panic and seeked Christ for help. We're the same. We're no different. We need to come and seek God. And sometimes we're going to go through stuff and we won't be able to face it because we're not being thankful. We're not calling on Jesus. We need to have that thankful heart. They would always show by your acts. It would always show by your response when you're called to do something for God. And it necessarily doesn't have to be in a church. It could be where you work, where you live, who you hang out with, what you do in life. Are you thankful? Have you thanked God for your job, your families? Have you thanked God for those miracles He's done? Have you remembered all the great things He's done? I can reflect back and probably take 2 days to tell you everything He's done in my family. 2 days, I would sit here and tell you He did this, He did. It's just over and over and over. We need to be thankful in the middle of the storm. Very thankful. I had a brother in Christ. Some years back, a Christian man, a speaker just like me, a passionate man, God in the flesh and God in my face took me out in the country and literally wanted me to fight him. He pushed me to the edge. I sat in the back of his pickup and he supposedly just wanted to talk to me, and he started cussing at me and pushing me in the chest. As violent and the lifestyle I led in the past, I probably would have got up and whomped on him. He probably beat me up because he was taller, but I wouldn't have gave up. But you know what? I sat there and took it. He called me all these insulting names and shoving in my chest. Come on, aren't you going to do something, you little girl guy, and all these bad words. I don't want to use them. You know what I mean? And I sat there. You know what I said in my heart? Thank you, God. Thank you. You're teaching me something. I'm going to learn something from this. And I never said a word to the guy. And I thanked him in that moment. 2 days later, as I still prayed for this man and myself or whatever was going on between us, I never knew what I did. 2 days later, he calls me in his office. He slams the door and he goes, sit down. I go, oh man, he's going to beat me up in his office now. So I sat down and he puts his head down on his desk and starts crying like a little baby, a man. Men cry. It's good to cry. Nothing wrong with that. If you're a Christian man in this room, you need to be crying. It's okay. The world will tell you, you're not a man. You cry. That's the lie. That's the lie from the world. That's the lie from the pit of hell. It's good to cry, guys. You get cleansed. You get released. So anyways, this guy is there bawling on his desk, and then he throws himself on the floor. I'm not exaggerating. He throws himself by the floor by his desk, and I'm sitting there going, oh, God, what's going on? What's going on? And he's crying, and the people in the other office can hear him. He's crying at the, Frank, I'm sorry. And he's just going on about forgiving me, and he crawls to me, and he grabs my ankles. He goes, Frank, please, can you forgive me? And I look at him, I go, I forgive you that day. You need to be telling God to forgive you, not me. I ain't God here. See, God can do that. And ever since that day forward, the 6 years more I worked for that man, it was nothing but peace between me and him. He would just let me run the show there. However, he wanted me to do maintenance. He let me do all the calls. That's God. That wasn't me. I had nothing to do with that. I was just thankful that he kept my mouth shut and I went through that storm. See, we need to be thankful. And God ain't going to do it instantly a lot of times. It's going to take days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years. Oh, man, I don't know if I want to be a thankful Christian. God, you're going to make me wait 5 years for this prayer? Yes, he will. Because he probably wants you to be with him. He's a jealous God. He wants you. He wants your attention. He wants to hear, thank you. He wants you to hear, thank you, God. He wants to hear it from your lips and from your heart. Thank you, God. It's hard to be thankful when you're in storms. And these disciples didn't know what was going on. They thought, we're going to die. We need to stop thinking that way. We need to start thinking how Jesus would react. We need to do what God would call us to do, even if we don't like it. Remember my job I didn't like? Remember? I hated my job first 2 weeks, first month. I love my job. It's an awesome job. It's getting so good that God is just enlightening me. He's giving me favor with all these foremen I work with. You know what? God is doing miracles because these guys are unloading trucks for me while I'm busy doing tickets. This guy that said I wasn't last 2 weeks is buying me lunch, helping me do tickets. He's doing everything. I got two offices now. This is crazy. And I sit back in that office. I have a picture on my phone, but I won't be able to see it. Anyways, I showed it to my wife. She goes, you have no shame, honey. Anyways, taking pictures at work. Can you imagine that? Anyways, I sit back and I go, and I almost tear. I go, God, thank you. This is you. A few months ago, I didn't want to be here, and I want to tear up right now, God. I said, thank you. Thank you that you showed me that I needed to be there. And then, again, here we go. It wasn't that Frank wanted to be happy in his job. It's because God wanted to use Frank to bring some light into that company, and these other Christian men are stepping up. We're praying for each other. We're praying for these other men that don't know Christ. We're ministering to them. And the boss just walks by and sees the Bible and says nothing. Hey, guys, what's up? Doesn't bother him. They've caught me a few times, but they didn't say anything. I'm in that second office back in the warehouse with my Bible. I'm reading. They walk in. I'm like, oh, hi, how can I help you? And he goes, hey, Frank, you go. They never say anything. They let me read my Bible. Isn't that cool? I am thankful that God would use me. You should be thankful so God can use you. And he is. I'm sure he is. Sometimes we don't even know that you won't even know he's using you. And out of the blue, someone's going to call you. Someone's going to pull you to the side and ask you questions about the Bible or for a prayer or for a relative that's sick or for a miracle. And most of them are those that don't believe. That guy at work, that big guy that said I wouldn't last, he asked me 2 days ago to pray for his wife. They artificially inseminated her because she couldn't have babies or something like that. And now she's pregnant. She's going to have babies. There's nothing God can't do. He goes, keep praying, Frank. We're hoping this baby, you know, evolves in the womb. And they're not sure yet. You know what I told him? It just came out. It wasn't me, and I don't know what I said. I go, hey, Fernando. His name's Fernando. There's his name. You guys don't know him. It don't matter. He won't know. He's this big and this big. And I go, hey, Fernando. He goes, what? Is there twins in your family? And he looked at me and smiled. He goes, yeah, how did you know that? I go, I didn't know that. I just got a feeling you're going to have twins. So I'm praying for twins for his wife. I believe it. There's nothing God can't do. If you're thankful for that, God can do anything. There's nothing God cannot do. Jesus will be with you in the storm. What else did I put up there? Jesus will all be okay. The next one. Jesus tested him in the storm. Can we go to the third point? There it is. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already sinking. How many of you feel when you're at that edge and you know nothing can help you now, you think that's it, I'm going to blow up here? They felt that in that boat. You see, when your boat of life feels like you're filled up and you think you're going to drown, you need to call on Jesus. You need to be thankful unto God and remember where he's brought you from. We need to be thankful. God will always use hard situations to bring us closer to him, to strengthen our faith and be thankful. You know what I liked about this story? That on this same day, on this same chapter of Mark 4, in the very first verse, Jesus goes out to the multitude to preach to the people. And there's so many people there that not too many can hear him or see him. So the disciples put him in a boat and launch him out a little so everyone can hear him and see him. They forgot what Jesus had just shared a few hours ago before this night storm hit. Just like us, we can forget from one moment to another. We need to have that faith of the mustard seed that goes deep and grabs God's word. Because a lot of Christians on Sundays leave those doors and they're like that other seed Christ talked about. That when temptations come, they fall away. That when struggles come, sin chokes them and they lose the battle. Jesus is looking for those strong Christians that are firmly rooted and grounded in his word and truly thankful. We need to be a thankful people. These guys forgot. It was just a few hours later. If you read it, it's right there, the very beginning of Mark 4, verse 1. He preached to them on faith and how some would dwindle and some would hang in and some would be tempted. They forgot for a second. But Jesus never questioned it. He got up and calmed the storms in their life. He stopped that storm. Yes, God controls the weather too. You know when we hate that it rained? Oh, it's all wet now outside. Someone in another part of that country or city needed water. Or vice versa, my grass is drying up. I need some strong H2O here. And it rains for you. Sometimes we don't want it to rain on us. Well, guess what? It's going to rain on you sometimes and you ain't going to like it. But take that up with God, not with me. Be thankful. Just tell him, thank you, God. I just took the car to the car wash and now it's raining. Thank you. Spent $10, $15. Thank you, Lord. Sounds funny, don't it? Sounds odd, almost weird, like this is not right. That's God. Let me tell you something. I've shared this before. We lived in a house in Brawley for 6 years. And they kicked us out. You know why? Because we had finished paying that lady's mortgage on that house. She comes one night, calls my wife out. They're out there having their little coffee in the living room. I went to bed. Didn't know what was going on. Next Saturday morning, I wake up. I rolled over and looked at her, and she's tearing up. I could hear her sniffling and crying. I go, honey, what's wrong? Why are you crying? She goes, the landlord told us to leave. Okay, we'll move on. No, she needs to leave now. Like, she wants her house back ASAP. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I didn't panic. I didn't pull what the disciples did. I didn't run and say, oh, God, why are you doing this? I hate you. You're throwing us out of our house. What are we going to do now? No. You know what I did? Through the Spirit of God, through his power, and my thankful heart unto him, as I've been serving him, I went quietly to my living room, kneeled, turned on my worship softly, and I started praising him and thanking him. And trust me, it felt weird. This is what I said, oh, God. Thank you that you threw us out. I don't know where we're moving, but I thank you, God. I worship you and I love you. And I start crying and really getting in there with God. And at that same minute, probably 5 minutes into this prayer, my cell phone goes off. So I reach for the cell phone. because I worked for a church at the time. They would call me on the weekends for situations. One of the guys from the church called me, "Hey, Frank, I have a question here, da-da-da." And I answered him, and he goes, "Hey, Frank, it sounds like you're crying. What's wrong?" I go, "Well, brother, guess what? Our landlord came over last night, and they threw us out, and I'm here thanking God in my tears and loving on him." He goes, "Oh, don't worry about it. I have a house for you right now. You can move right now to this house." And that's where we live now. Isn't that awesome? That's God. If you're thankful in the storm, he'll move. He'll move those mountains. He'll move those situations. He did that there at that moment because he knew we needed a home. But sometimes it's going to take a little longer. The process might take a little longer. But hang in there. Be thankful no matter what. No matter how that mountain looks. There's a story on Christopher Reeves, the actor that had passed away. Did you remember when he got that accident? He became paralytic from the neck down. I didn't know this. I looked it up. Before his accident, he was shooting a movie where he would go into this hospital and play the part of a paralytic from here down. And every night he left that set, you know what he would say? And sometimes think it in his heart. I read it on the internet. This is what they wrote. Christopher Reeves would leave that place and say, "Oh God, I am thankful I am not like them. I don't want to be crippled. Oh God, I am thankful I'm not like them." Wrong intentions in the heart. And a little later after that, he had his accident. Isn't that odd? But we serve a good God. See, the Bible says, friends, he gives and takes away. Why did he take this actor? I don't know. Were his intentions wrong? I don't know. But God loved him, I'm sure. Was he saved? I don't know. But we got to be careful. We got to be careful. The Pharisees in Scripture, in the New Testament, they would worship God out loud. They wanted people to see them. I think Jerry or Jeremiah spoke on the scrolls they would put on their heads. Well, these guys made big ones so people would see them. They carried Scripture around, the Torahs. They were rolled up and put it here on their belt. Well, these guys, these Pharisees inside, they make big rolls. They wanted to show off, in other words. They wanted attention. When all the attention should be on God and the glory to God and the thankfulness to God. It's not about us. We need to be thankful. And sometimes it's going to seem like we're alone. You're going through things and no one understands you. No one understands. Oh, they don't understand. God does. Jesus does. Your boat's filling up. You're letting it. Come to Christ. Be thankful. Try not to understand what he's doing. Just go through it. See, Christians don't have reverse. They didn't tell you that part when you got saved, huh? Well, it's not in Scripture or anything. But when you get saved, there's no more looking back. You don't want to be like Lot's wife, do you? Remember Lot's wife? She looked back and became what? Pillar of salt. God said, just don't look back. My house. Don't look back. You know what? It's self and the devil that will make you look at your past and bring you down and bring you situations, bring you stress, bring you hard times, bring you worries, bring you pain, bring you remembrance of things you don't want to remember. I always get this one. "Hey, Frank, play this song you used to play, the Led Zeppelin and the Van Halen." Some of them are forgotten. I don't want to go there no more. The music I used to play, it's gone. I knew many songs in the secular world, almost all of them, because I love drumming, if you can tell. I love to play any song, but people will try to remind you. Don't look back. Look forward. Be thankful and keep going forward. Keep your eyes on the cross. Remember what Jesus has done for you. He has done many things in some of your lives. Some of you are probably new in Christ. Some of you have been in Christ for a while. Some of you longer. Remember the good things and be thankful. We need to be a thankful people. He does miracles every day. He did a miracle for all of us this morning. All of us. And you guys missed it. Probably some of you got it. He did a miracle for us, all of us, this morning. What is it? We woke up. We're still alive. We're breathing his air. I thank him for the littlest things. You know, my wife wanted a little fish aquarium, so we got her one. They're all these cute. In the mornings, I go put my hands on the fish tank, and I pray for my fish. Thank you, Lord, for these little fishes. A little story behind it. I'll try to go fast. We bought like 6 sets of fish, and they've all died. I don't know if we were overfeeding them, underfeeding them. There was something in the water. I don't know. But we've been praying. Well, I've been praying for my fish. I don't know who my wife is, but they're still alive. They've been with us a month now. Pray for my fish. There's 6 goldfish and 1 mudsucker. They don't have names, just pray for the fish. Not fishes, the fish. Someone knows what I said out there. So anyways, Jesus always called on his heavenly Father. If Jesus needed to call on his heavenly Father, we need to too. If Jesus would pray anywhere and seek his heavenly Father, we need to as well. If Jesus prayed for people and believed and healed them, we can too. There's nothing God can't do. Me and my wife are still waiting for that miracle. When that visitor of cancer came to our house 3 years ago, we're still in that storm. But we can smile through it. We can sleep sometimes. Because there's some tough times. There's some tough nights. There's some tough days. The hardest thing to do as a husband is to pray for your wife in the morning and leave her there crying in pain and you got to go to work. Smile through one like that. God gets the glory, and I give him praise right now for that because she's still here. And she's faithful and strong and encourages me daily. See, suffering is not easy, but we need to be thankful no matter what you're facing. What you see here is the power of Jesus and the work he's done in me and the work he's doing in my wife and in my home. We pray for our kids every day and they all stop praying for us. This is happening. Well, I wonder why. Been thankful lately? God is good and he'll never leave you nor forsake you, it says. My next point is what? Where am I going? I got sidetracked. Jesus wanted to check their attitude in the storm. But he was in the stern asleep on the pillow and they awoke him. And there it is. Teacher, don't you care? Of course Jesus cares. He wants to change your life. He wants to change that situation. And when it feels God is not there, he's the closest. See, when they threw us out of our house, I came to my knees in my living room and I figured God was nowhere to be seen. And within minutes, I get the phone call through another person that God put in that moment, in that path, to thank him and give him glory to give us another house instantly. When you feel God the farthest, it's when he's the closest. And sometimes when you feel him far and you're saying, God, you can't hear me. Why am I going through this? It's because you're not being thankful. He's already whispering in your ear. I'm trying to talk to you, but it's too loud in your brain. You're having too many thoughts here. Stop it. There's a storm going on in your head. I can't hear you, God. Well, slow down and relax and meditate. Just sit there and cry if you need to and thank him. Again, crying purifies you. There was many prophets in the Old Testament. One very well known was Jeremiah. He was a crying prophet. Paul, they said he prayed and cried so much that there was streams in his skin of tears, and they called Paul camel knees. He prayed so much they were rough. We need to have that attitude. And these guys forgot and got the wrong attitude. They went and panicked. Ah! What are we going to do? You need to just thank God. You need to thank God in your situation. There's nothing he can't do. He still does miracles. He still moves mountains. He still restores marriages. But you need to believe it. You need to live it. Jesus said, pray as it is. Don't say, oh God, I hope this works. No, believe it. And thank him. Thank you, God, that I'm going to get ahead in life. Thank you, God, that you're going to use me in a mighty way. Thank you, God, for that rough employee that's really testing my faith. I want to wring his neck sometimes. Thank him. Watch what he'll do. You want to hear another true story that's going to blow you away? I shared this with the youth the other night. For many years, I've owed over $20,000 through arrears and the past child support I owed. I never paid. Over $20,000 I owed. And I had started thanking him a few months ago because I started studying what these pastors wanted to speak about on being thankful and praying scriptures like Psalms 46 and 47 talks about being thankful unto God no matter what. The Bible says we're the head and not the tail. We're above, not below. We're lenders, not borrowers. It says all that. So I started praying it and living it. So a few weeks ago, my wife calls me to work and she's crying. I go, honey, are you okay? Do I need to come home? She goes, no. I'm just crying because it's a good thing, but I'm going to wait till you get home. I go, no, tell me, please. And she wouldn't tell me. So I try to hurry up. I go, boss, can I go home yet? No. Can I go home? It's 3. No. Can I go home? No, it's 4. I had to wait till 5. It ate me up. So I get home and she's sitting in bed crying. And I hope I don't cry. I hope it comes out. Come on, God, give me the strength. I owed over $20,000. She goes, read this. I open it up, and it's a letter paraphrasing saying, well, now you only owe $6,000. We're not going to garnish your checks after 10 years now. Just send us something. Isn't that powerful? I thank God for that. I've been thanking him for that since 2 weeks ago when I read this letter. And you're going to face things and say, God can't do it, and I don't want to be thankful? You need to be thankful because God wants to do it in your life. He wants to restore whatever needs to be restored. He wants to bring you through that storm. Don't go through this storm alone, friends. You ain't going to make it. You're going to be going like this as a Christian. Hey, what's up? You all right? Yep, I'm fine. I'm fine. Can I borrow that life holder over there? Lifesaver. Give me some floaties. Don't do it on your own. Come to God. Thank Him. Thank Him for what you're going through. It might sound odd, but I thank God for what my wife's going through, and so does she. You need to talk with my wife. She has a powerful testimony. Speaks a little bit of English, but if you speak Spanish, she'll tell you some stuff on suffering and going through storms. And God is using that in our lives to become stronger, to face other trials. Because listen, friends, when you go through a storm, storms come to end. Can you tell me ever a time a tornado hit and it never stopped? 2 years went by and the wind's still blowing and the trees are falling and the roofs are flying off? They come to an end at one point. They're seasons. See? And He's preparing you for the next one. You're going to go through stuff to prepare you for the next one, but if you don't get through that first storm, you won't be ready for the next one, so you're kind of stuck there. In and out of that storm. In and out of that storm. Get the umbrella out again. Get the umbrella out again. And He wants to move you forward. See, God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning, Genesis. And in Revelation, it ends. See, God's master plan's moving. We can be stopping things in our lives, changing and not following God, but God's master plan is always moving, evolving, and changing. His plan will never stop moving till the end comes, till He comes back. So if you think your little world, it's going to end, and no, you need Christ. You need to come and be thankful unto the Lord. The guys forgot who they were with. Let's not forget who's with us, and that's Jesus. Can I go to my last point, please? It says, Jesus saved them out of the storm. It's right there in verse 39. Then He arose and rebuked the wind and said, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was great calm. It does not say, and Jesus got up and said, why did you wake me up? I was having a great dream. I was eating a banana split. Guys, messed up my dream here. He did not say that. He did not say, why are you guys so afraid, man? Just let me sleep. Do it on your own. Start pedaling or take the sails down or something. What are you afraid of? He didn't say that till after He did it for them. I didn't put the rest of the verses on there, but I read them. 40 and 41 says, then He asked them, where's your faith? Christ is a loving God. He's a good God. He'll come to you subtly later on. And all He's saying is, can't you thank me? Can't you remember me? Can't you remember what I'm doing? Remember. Be thankful. One of the greatest things overall that we should be thankful is our salvation. That's the greatest thing we'd be thankful for. So when you get up tomorrow morning, I hope you say, thank you, God, for another day. Follow it with, thank you for my salvation. Because you know what? We're all headed for eternity, separated from God in our sins, wrapped up in them, guilty and condemned. But He came and saved us. That's why you're here. That's why you congregate. You're here for a reason. You're seeking something. And only God knows what it is. He knows your heart right now. He's reading your thoughts right now. So quit thinking about the Golden Corral or In-N-Out, okay? Come on, get focused. I'm getting hungry now. He saved us. There's a man that came over 2,000 years ago and crucified for us to be here right now. For these pastors to come and bring you message Sunday after Sunday on different themes and topics so we can grow and be stronger. I've always said this. If you have two fighting dogs and you feed one more than the other, who's going to win? The dog that's being fed. You need to be fed God's word. You need to be thankful daily, constantly throughout your day. Good or bad, God gives and takes away. He will bring storms to your lives. You need to thank Him. You need to thank Him through those storms. Always be thankful. Always be thankful. If the worship team would come on up, I'll close there. So right now, if you can just reflect and remember all the good things God has done in your lives, all the miracles He's done over and over, some you've probably missed, some you probably forgot to thank Him for, just take a minute right now as we do this next song and thank Him. Thank the Lord right now and let Him move in your heart. Let's ask God to remind us to be thankful. God is always good. We're the ones that tend to veer off and sway away for whatever reason, for whatever excuse. If you're ill or sick and you can't come, well, seek Him there in your bed or at home. I know, I understand sometimes we can't get up because of physical situations. But remember everything He's done in your lives. If your boat is filling up, if you're stressing, if you're struggling with anger or lying or cheating or not just not coming before God. Right now is the time. You need to give it to God and let him deflate your boat. Let him take that water out. Let him grab you from the hand and say, he wants to say, okay, it's okay, I'll get you out of this. But you need to be thankful. You need to call on me. You need to seek me. Don't be like the disciples that forgot. Let's pray.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You